This episode of The Boop Show is brought to you by you and listeners like you over at patreon.com/frogpants. Consider supporting this and other great content from the Frog Pants Network today at patreon.com/frogpants.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for June 18th, 2018, with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunholway. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. It is The Boop Show, episode 177. I'm Scott Johnson, Brian Dunaway over there. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. Now you get my name right.
We're boogieing, man. Look at us boogieing and dancing.
Boogie, boogie. It's time to do the boop bop.
Bip, bip. Got to get a bip in there.
Bippity, bippity, boo.
Bippity, boo. Hey, we're back, everybody. Whoa, what? The last week was weird because it was all E3 coverage and Brian was busy, so he wasn't on any of it, which sucked, but... it's okay, because we're back to the normal schedule, and things have let up for you a little bit, so it's not so crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys did great, by the way. I really was envious of the E3 coverage. I hate that I missed. Not next year, I'm in.
Okay.
Dadgummit.
All right.
I'm taking a week off if I have to.
We missed you terribly. We really did.
I missed it.
We missed having you there. It's always fun having Brian in that. But it's good to be back and doing our normal thing. It's actually really nice not to be talking about E3 all the time, to be honest. Kind of nice.
I mean,
got a little sick of it. Like I do every year, toward the end of it, I'm like, all right, we get it. There's video games coming. You're all you want to sell them. I get it. Like, I get it. But now I'm just like, no, I just want to play something. You know, I just want to.
I'm not actually disappointed in the sales pitch, because that's what I expect. I'm disappointed usually in the bitching.
It's like, oh, I can't believe they did that with that game. Oh, it's going to be so lame.
Oh, just shut up and enjoy the games. Or don't enjoy the games. Don't play.
Well,
yeah, so was that.
I mean, there's never been a time that I can remember where you were negative at all.
I don't like Steam.
Oh, Wayne, I'm sorry. I forgot about that one where you don't like Steam.
You know, that's different. That's a name.
That's true. It is.
I could be negative on a name.
That's true. That's all you were really saying at the time.
I like the service.
Yeah. Just a dumb name.
Dumb name.
Yeah,
just
you don't...
like the Xbox One X and Xbox One S. Mm. Just like, stop, I can't keep up with all, it's too much.
Dude, would you prefer another form of water? Because that's a gaseous form of water. Would you prefer like a solid, like ice? They call it ice.
I would prefer them to call it just it's I don't know what I want to call it, but Steam is too close to just, I don't know. It's just not a good, I don't think, oh, look, Steam, I can't wait to play some video games.
Mm.
I get it because it's Valve. I get it.
It's a Steam Valve. Get it? Steam Valve?
I'd be more happy with Valve. That would have been good.
Well, that's the name of their company. They can't be Valve.
I know, but they can be get the Blizzard app. I mean, it's what is that? I mean, they don't call it the Icy Launcher.
They call it Battle.net.
Well, yeah. That's dumb, too.
All right, you're not wrong. It is kind of dumb. But one way or the other, we're back, and we're thrilled to be here. Let's get right into it. I decided to get back to something I haven't tried since a few patches ago. I think I may have mentioned it on the show before, but Deep Rock Galactic is this game
in
Early Access, and I've talked about it before. It's been a bit, though, and that's unfortunate because apparently there have been some nice updates, especially this week. There was a real nice update put in there. And it's the same game. You're, you know, dudes who are...
You're dwarves, right? Are you dwarves?
You're dwarves.
In space?
Or as you say, dwarfs. Yes, you're dwarves. In space. You're in like a right. big space station type unit deal. And in this space station type unit deal, you go down with three of your friends or by yourself or two of you or three
Whoa.
Of you, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And you start mining away at the place, and you start earning the stuff that you can get from mining. So that includes gold and other kinds of precious metals that are all part of the rock facing in this deep cave somewhere.
So is this Cave Blazer style, or is this a Minecraft?
It's first-person shooter style.
Oh, that's unique.
Yeah, it's not a it's not done in any other format, so it's not like a little third person thing. It's like full on first person game. And while you're in there fighting, or while you're in there getting stuff, a lot of these giant alien bugs come and they try to kill you while you're trying to get the goods.
Right.
The goal is usually some sort of quest, like get in there, get 200 of this kind of mineral plus 10 of these, and then get out of there. While you're there, you'll get waves of enemies. That part of the game plays basically like Left 4 Dead or what's a better example? Another horde kind of mode game. I know there's others.
It's totally unique in my case because I'll admit I'm not the best when there's terrain that is not flat. And so all of this is cave digging. So when things come at you, it kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, alien games or something where things can just kind of like
come out of nowhere,
come off the ceiling out of nowhere. And it just is so, I'm not good at it. I enjoyed what I played.
Yeah.
I love loading up the mule and telling him to giddy on back with the supplies. Giddy on.
Hold on a second. You have this game?
Yeah, this game.
Oh, shit.
I got this game the week after you got it.
Why aren't we playing this game? We should be playing this
game.
I
asked you the same thing. You was like, I played it.
There's a bunch of new stuff in it. We got to play. Okay, we're playing this. This is the next time we stream. We're playing Big Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is. Black Rock.
Big Nasty Galactic.
Galactic.
We played Battle Right. Did we play Battle Right?
Yeah, we
last
played
week
Battle
or
Right last week.
Last?
Week before last.
Did we
do that? It was before E3.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
It was fun.
We're going to play more games, is the bottom line.
I've got that Deep Rock Galactic. I would love to play that. You would love to watch me suffer. Because
are you no good?
Oh man, the last time I played. Okay, so you get in these caves where you're digging in, and if your teammates get away from you too far away, which happens every time with me, and then you can't see them, you lose line of sight.
Yeah,
but you have this like infrared vision where you can kind of see through, and man, that makes it all the worse for me.
Really?
So I'm like, okay, so I just need to go straight. I can't go straight.
Yeah,
where are these fools at?
Well, I actually have a complaint about the game that I wish they would address, and it's this. The idea of going into the ship, down under the surface, drill down, get into a cave, and then start exploring and finding the stuff I need, get it, and get out of there, and have an occasional encounter with a spider, great. I'm into it. That's a game I could play. It's procedural generated stuff, too, so the layouts of the dungeons aren't nuts. It's good. That's a good gameplay loop for me. Whether I'm alone or with people, I'm down with it. I need an option in this game to turn off the horde modes. I hate them.
Yeah.
And the reason I hate them is they're arbitrary and they feel like they're just on there on a timer. So it isn't like emergent gameplay where, oh, I've cracked open this wall because I thought maybe something was behind it, but we've let out a huge nest. Now, that's cool. Do that. That's awesome. That's a thing that's on you. You got to fight it. I get it. But if it's just every once in a while, dude pipes in on the radio and goes, look out, laddie, there's 400 billion spiders crawling up your arse and you have to turn around and fight them. I'm not
it
into
is
that.
Like that too, by the way. It's I like it.
I don't like it. I don't want to be
well yeah random. I don't like the horde mode, but I do like the guy radio in.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah, he's great, whatever. Yeah. He should radio in all he wants, but I just want to be able to go in there and do my thing. I'm not saying that should be part of this game. I'm saying I'd like to turn that off. Give me a server setting. Give me a something where I can say I don't want that. There's difficulty settings, that's cool. But that doesn't really solve my problem. Even on the easiest mode, I'm just annoyed with horde mode. And I'd rather not play on easiest mode. I'd like to play right down the center or a little harder, depending on how good we are. But I don't want every once in a while the guy goes, oh, we've got that big thing coming toward you. I mean, I understand that people like that. I get it. It's the entire premise of Left 4 Dead. It's the entire premise of lots and lots of these games since then. These four Vermintide game, same deal.
Vermintide, yeah.
Right?
And this is a 1-4 player co-op, just like Left 4 Dead, like you said. So I do like that part. But sometimes your gaming experience can be very much molded by the group you're with.
Yes.
And sometimes I'm the wait.
How often do you go? Have you gone in with some randos? Let's just random people and play with them.
Oh, yes. I've gone in with some randos. And oh, my gosh. The first time I played, I went in and you start in this room. You start in a big, like a ship area, Yeah. And it's, there's no instructions when I start anyway. There's probably been several updates since then. Yeah. But you go into the big room and it's like, well, what am I supposed to do now? How do I launch the mission? Where am I supposed to be at? How do I say I'm ready? And, you know, other people are jumping around and say, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, I don't know how to go.
You gotta get up into the ship, into the little launcher ship, and go down to the surface.
Well, eventually I figured that out.
Yeah. The part that gave it away for me is when these stairs came down, and it looked like I needed to climb them.
I didn't see stairs. Oh. Actually, there was an elevator platform kind of thing that would come down. And I said, oh, I get on that. And went up to the top, and yeah. I was just at the top level.
Yeah, it's a little, it's ambiguous. There. I agree with that. It's a little better now, but you basically go in, you're like in a little chamber, like your little sleep chamber. You choose what guy you want to be. There's all these different classes, and you go in and you mine and you fart around and you get out. And I like that a lot. I just don't like the horde bits. And some may say, well, Scott, that's the point of the game. I don't think that's the point of the game. I think they have an incredibly fun
loop. The point of the
game
is being a freaking dwarven space miner. I mean, that's just... Yeah. In itself, just an amazing concept.
Like when I play outer space stuff, I love going to some remote system and finding, like, you know, mineable asteroids, and then I'll be digging at them and stuff. What I don't want is suddenly my wingman to go, look out, Bill, there's a million little shippies coming. I don't want to. I want to just mine my shit. It's a big universe.
Right.
This is a big mine. It's fine. Like I say, if I crack open a part of the wall I shouldn't have, and out comes a mother and her 50 kids. That's fine. Let's fight. That's different. That's emergent. That's reactionary. It's interesting. The other thing is just like it's like playing. You know what it reminds me of? This is why I hate it. I just realized. It's a first person.
Is it random encounters?
No, it's first person. Well, that's part of it, but it's first person. Basically like a tower defense game. Because at the end of the day, you're like, okay, well, who's going to shoot
part.
The... Yeah, I don't like that part. I don't want that part. Right, I want discovery, and I want the feeling of accomplishment without the, it's time to fight another wave of the shitty spiders.
Yes, because never once when I saw the description of this game did I say, ooh, I hope there's some horny spiders that'll come flying up my face, because I was thinking, I'm going to get procedurally generated... mining of, you know, different ores, and I'm going to get to collect and then, you know, do this with it. I never saw any fighting coming. Like, that wasn't the thing that I was really looking forward to. It's the mining. That's what I want to do. I want to mine. I want to collect.
Yep. You're like me. Dig. You're just like me. I want to mine and I want to come back and I want to cash it in and I want my numbers to go up. I want numbers to go that direction, not this direction. And then I want to go do it again. I want to get in again. And do it again.
But it's a good game. Let's not pretend like the horde mode is the only thing that happens in the game. Because
that's awesome. That's my point, there, Brian. That's my complaint. Yeah. It takes me away from all the other excellent parts of this game.
Right. So maybe they'll dial that back a little bit. Because is it still an early release?
It is. Or it's an early access still.
Early access stuff. So yeah, you know, they just complain in the
And they'll fix it, right?
And they'll fix it. They'll either, you know, dial it back or give you an option not to deal with it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's how this will work.
It's only like $24 or something, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. I mean, for the record, I got this as a code.
I actually received this as a gift.
Oh, very nice.
From one of our listeners.
Well, we have such giving listeners.
That's good listeners.
Yeah, they're good people, these listeners of ours. Anyway, long and the short of it. Deep Black Rock. What is it? Deep Rock Galactic.
Deep Rock Galactic. So a little DRG, baby.
Yeah, a little DRG. It's a little nothing, DRG. Nothing wrong with that. I love throwing out the little, what are they called? The flares, like the little light flares.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Also, they added, this wasn't there before, so maybe this has been there a while and I just didn't know about it, but they added basically treasure goblins to the game, but they're called, they're called loot bugs, and they're just like these slimy bugs. Little green bugs. They're very slow. They don't fight back or anything. But you go up to them, you bang on them with your thing or shoot them, and they'll explode with gems and stuff that you wouldn't have to, you'd have to mine otherwise. So it's very, reminds me of
that.
They've
been eating the gems, and you just, you know.
He goes around eating
them. Knock the poo out of them.
Yeah, exactly. You literally are knocking his gem poo out of it. But I love throwing the flares. The flares regenerate over time. There's ways to upgrade that so you can have up to like 4 flares and you can increase how long the flares stay lit, that sort of thing. It's also a great way to do like a breadcrumb trail. So if you get lost, you're like, well, I don't want to go that way because that's backwards because that's where all my dormant flares are.
Right.
So I don't, you know, so that helps me actually navigate this place. But I'm telling you, with you and I together, I'll bet we can do some business.
We got this.
Yeah.
I just be aware that I've been known to get my mule stuck.
Really? Your mule or the other guy, the little
The little robot guy, the little guy that comes in behind you when you give him all your resources.
Oh, that's the mule, yeah. How do you get your mule stuck? Yeah, how you get them stuck? That seems really...
I do things with my mule I probably shouldn't be doing with my mule. That's what happens there.
I like it, but you just hit C and he'll come to wherever you are. So if
you... Yeah, unless I'm in some kind of weird place that you can't quite get to. I've messed up a lot of... I've messed up... If there's a way to mess up, I've messed up.
Yeah, you've done it.
I want to play with you, so you can tell me what I'm doing wrong.
All right, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's show the world what we're made of.
A little DRG.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. All right. What'd you do since we last talked? Oh, I should also mention I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins again just to finish it because I want to beat it by the end of this year.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to say about that. All right.
That's good. No, the thing that, well, you know, I don't think we've talked since I've got my PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
Got that as a early Father's Day gift and I'm loving it. It's fantastic. It plays the games that were lagging a little bit for me on my standard PS4. Oh shoot! I don't even know what it's probably. That was an early purchase that PS4 I had. I'm sure it was probably early batches on that thing, but this one runs much better. And then for my Father's Day official, I got another surprise. I don't deserve any of these things, but the boys came over. They brought me Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
So that's a little game I've been kind of, you know, talking about around the kids, going, "Ooh, I want to play this." And I downloaded the demo early last week, which you can get on the PlayStation if you had the PlayStation Plus. I played through the demo like about 6 times. Mm-hmm. There's only one story, by the way, Scott, and I played it 6 times.
Wow.
I think they were sick of me watching me play it the same story over and over again. The reason why you can play the story over and over again is because each time you play, you're playing as an android, and you have to make decisions based on the story that you're working on, and you're trying to solve crime for the first character in the demo. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to talk this android who is a deviant. That's right. You're an android, and you're trying to talk to a deviant android who has kind of lost his mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And he is.
They call them deviants because they've deviated, not because they're.
Because they've deviated. Yeah, because they've deviated from their programming, which is to not harm humans and so forth and to be, you know, compliant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the future, 2034 or something like that, 2038.
Yeah.
Not far in the future.
Mm-hmm. 2038 is exactly it where it starts.
Right.
There you go.
And so you jump in there, the demos, like I said, if you haven't got the demo and you got PlayStation Plus, get it. It's fun. It's very small. It's only like about 3 or 4 gigs, I think. So it's not a big download, but the story's not much. But you get in there and you have to make, you have to investigate in the first story. You have to investigate the area and look at all the clues. And you go up and you investigate everything. And then you have to go out on a balcony and you have to talk this deviant down from doing something bad.
Hmm.
I don't want to give anything away, but that's what you have to do.
All right.
Your chances of success while negotiating, so you're supposed to negotiate with this other android who is a deviant. And as you collect the clues along the way, your probability of ending in a positive way increases.
Okay.
So once you do that, some things happen. Sometimes you die. Sometimes you live. Sometimes you sacrifice your life. Sometimes you kill the guy. There's all these outcomes that are possible. And when you get through, one of the fun things about this is kind of like Assassin's Creed. When you get through, you kind of look through and you have a little flow chart there. It's like, oh, what did I do? Well, I went that path and went that path and went that path. And my favorite thing, because I'm a statistics junkie, you can click on the world play, which shows you the statistics of people who have played and what they chose along the path to see what you did. So you feel like such a goober when you realize that 80% of the people did the same thing you did. You want to go, I want to do something unique. So I went back and played it five times until it did something unique.
Yeah. And did you, so, okay, the reviews on this are mixed. It just came out after, it was like the next big thing after God of War for Sony. And there's a lot of anticipation for it. Quantic Dream is known for these weird exploratory games, Hard Rain and things like that. Or Heavy Rain, sorry, not Hard Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Hard Rain is the
movie and film set.
Yeah, the one where we just want the money, that one. Anyway, it's people seem to be divided like they always are with their games on roughly the same division lines.
Yeah.
Like they're like, it's too slow paced, the story's weird and they were bad. And other people are like, no, it's the best thing I've ever played. I can't believe this is over. I want to play more.
You have to be the type of person, you're the kind of person that can deal with these adventure games where you have to choose your own adventure. Either it makes you feel good that you're revealing story, or you feel like you're wasting your time. Because if you play on, I think there's two different setting modes that I saw. They were like a casual or more experience. Mm-hmm. I chose the more experience because you have to interact more with the characters and you have to do all these crazy control things, mm-hmm. which are not bad. Okay, so you got the six-axis PS4 controller, right? Yeah. So you know it does some things that, like, you can tilt it. It's got the tilt axis, and that'll register. But most games don't use that. And then, you know, it's got the up-down gyro thing where you do, and it's like, nobody uses that. Mm. Well, in this game, you do a lot of mundane things like cleaning up the house and pouring water for your humans. And when you have to pour the water, you have to take the controller and tip it to one side, which is fine because that in a game where it's like, where there's no pressure, where it's like, oh yeah, pour the guy water. Okay. It's like, okay, here we go. I got it. Yeah. There it goes. It pours. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But when you're in a situation where you're fighting a human for some reason and you're fighting for your life and it says, tilt it to the right, tilt it to the left. You're like, I can't do it. Because it's not a twitch type action, right, for us as humans, and the controller is kind of sluggish about that, and I got so frustrated with that part of the game. Most of it's not like that. I actually got myself into a situation by following a stupid path in the story.
A stupid path.
And, a stupid path. I should have known better than to pick the path I chose, because there was a possibility for my Android to either run away from the problem or to face it head on. Mm. And I decided to face it head on.
Mm.
And I got my ass kicked by a human.
That'll happen.
Because Androids, you would think they'd be super strong, right?
Right.
But they're not.
Well, you'd think they would be. See, that was one of my biggest things about Androids in movies and TV, is they always seem to make them stronger than they should be. And I don't know why humans would do that, because if they ever do go deviant or go off the rails, they're going to just kick your A.
It's really hard to balance that just from a robotic standpoint, because if you don't, it's kind of like your car. I mean, if you give your car and the speed limit's 55 and the fastest your car will do absolutely pegged out is 55, you're going to be in some bad situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give your car the ability to go, 120 or something, so that in the situations where you need it, you can kind of go above without totally tearing the engine up. Because if you go to like 80, your engine will be going, what kind of car you got? I'm assuming you drive like a Prius. Is that what you drive?
No, I've got like a little Ford compact that just is enough for getting around town. Yeah, it's
like a little, like a Ford Golf. Is that what that's called?
No, it's called a Ford. That's a Golf is a freaking, what's the other one?
That's a VW.
Yeah, that's a Volkswagen. It's a Ford Fiesta that they just announced that they're not going to make them anymore. But they're the ones they turn into rally cars, which is the only reason it's cool.
Those are cool.
Otherwise,
it's lame. So Detroit Become Human. You do play three primary characters as androids, and each one of them is doing a different thing. One of them is my favorite. He is a detective, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you get to work with Clancy Brown.
Oh, I heard he was in this. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he does the voice as well as I don't know if they did any motion capture with him, because his motions aren't as smooth as the primary android characters. Connor is the the guy that I like to play the most, he's kind of buddied up with Clancy Brown. And I would watch this as a TV show. I mean, it is just fantastic. It's this, the storytelling is fun.
Is Lance Hendrickson in it? I heard somebody say
Lance Hendrickson is in it. He is a disabled artist. And he is on an age in his final years, and he has an android named Marcus, and he is kind of giving Marcus these human lessons, I guess you would say. He's trying, because he realizes that he's going to pass soon, and that the world hasn't really dealt with androids becoming independent. Mm. So, you know, and the character doesn't want to tie that android down, I guess, or kill it or whatever. So he wants it to continue on living after him. So that storyline was pretty interesting. Unfortunately, I made some bad decisions specifically with Marcus, and the Marcus storyline for me has ended. Mm. And you can go back to the chapters. This is one of my favorite parts of the game, though. Mm. You can go back to the chapters if you fail really bad, which I did. And you go back in, and there's this other android, I forget her name, but it's like, you don't play her in the game, but she's like the menu android. And if you do something devastatingly bad, she starts giving you a bad guilt trip about it. Mm. She's like, oh, what are we going to do? You let Marcus die. And oh my God, I can't believe you let Marcus die. And it's just, she just carries on and on and on. And you're like, I'm sorry. Mm. And so you choose the chapter. The thing with it, when you're choosing a chapter, you can do a couple of things. When you choose to go back, play a chapter, you can choose to continue the story, and you'll basically destroy any progress beyond that chapter. Or you can choose to go unsaved and just play the chapter over again, which is fun. But I had immediately stopped when Marcus died, and I went back and I said, okay, I want to play that again. And it immediately reminded me that the way the game is written, you should really allow it to happen, because the flow chart gets so big over time that it's okay if one of the characters dies, because there's going to be interesting story arcs that are going to happen because he died.
Yeah.
And if you go back and you save all of them, then you're going to be very much narrowing your storyline. And like I said, I love story driven games.
Yeah.
And this thing is so story driven. Only thing I wish is that that some of the controls that require, you know, that twitch reaction, mm-hmm. that they would stick to stuff like mashing the X button really fast.
Right.
Or, you know, double triggers. I got that. But when you ask me, it's like they show the controller on screen, and it's like going to up motion.
Yeah.
An up motion. I'm like, nah. And I couldn't get it.
That is a quantum ass dream game, what you're describing right there.
It really is. That's what they do.
This is all they make. They make these weird freaking sort of motion control based kind of not games. They're odd. They're very odd.
Yeah, yeah. And you can, and this is what I was actually going to do. I downloaded the demo. I played the demo. I was really wanting to play some more. $7.50 for $3 for 3 days from the Red Box. I was going to pick it up. Didn't have it locally to my Red Box, and I'm glad, because when the kids showed up this on Father's Day, I said, here, stop playing that same chapter over and over again. You're killing us.
So did they, that's awesome. That's a great way to get a new game out of your kids.
Right.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like the game is replayable given all the split choices and stuff, or no?
Absolutely, and they make the story so interesting. Even with the demo, I did not mind going back and going through, because the outcomes were so different, and so differently paced.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me at all to play through that one chapter 5 times. And I'm hoping that's going to be representational of the other chapters as I go along. So far, you can really tell what you didn't do when you go through that flow chart. So I've been kind of going chapter. And every time I get through, I look back, and you can bring up that flow chart, and there's like about 30 different things you could have done differently that would have totally affected. You would have a totally brand new dialogue. It would just be the same setting, but there'd be different dialogues and different outcomes. And
is there a setting in this game where I can just beat the shit out of Todd the minute I see him? I don't like this guy. Yeah, I'm looking
Todd, at him. Todd is Kara's owner, and that's probably the one you've seen the most in the marketing material. Yeah. That's the one they really sold, because she's the one that's basically a battered android.
So he treats her like crap, right?
Right. He treats everybody in his life like crap. This is Detroit in 2038, and so it's supposed to be there's a real big contingency of humans who feel like they're taking our jobs. So the androids are taking their jobs.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to deal with that. So there's a lot of hate, you know, and there's a lot of parallels to, you know, migrant workers, and there's, you know, shadows of slavery and the different things we've had to come through and overcome in America and still haven't completely overcome yet.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
There's a lot of touches to that. And some of the criticisms I see is because of the poor handling of that. But I'm like, how deep do you want to get with that? I mean, this is a really character driven story that only goes so deep, but there's a good bit of stuff, even outside that, because you find out how much pressure is going on in the world. Because when you're going around with the characters, there's magazines laying around, and they're magazines. You pick them up and they're digital. And if you read through them, you find out stuff like there's, you know, the effects of global warming and housing, and especially how it's impacting Detroit. And it's a really, really good, deep storytelling that, like I said, I haven't got tired even a little bit.
Graphics look really nice.
Oh, the graphics are super great, yeah. But you can really tell they focused on the three androids. They had great actors, mm-hmm. and actresses who did this. They did the motion capture. Valerie Curry is Kara's character.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Deschart, I think that's his name, Connor. But you know, yeah, you'll probably recognize some of these people from other, mostly TV stuff.
That's French for the shark. By the way,
Le Chart.
Brian, what are you?
His
okay?
IMDb photo is him with a bunch of dots on his face. By the way, but well, he's very likable person. All these androids, they made them very likable.
Yeah, I'm into it. All right, well, yeah. I may have to check that out. Finally, I don't know, man. Everybody was
like
so...
I said, you ain't got to make no commitment. You download the dang demo.
Mm-hmm.
What's it gonna cost you?
No.
You got 4 gigs on your drive?
Yeah. I mean, how's it look on a regular PlayStation? Because that's all I've got still.
I don't know. I didn't hook it up on a regular PlayStation. I'm assuming it probably still looks pretty good.
All right.
There's nothing like fantastically amazingly different that I would imagine. I wasn't like, oh my god, it looks so fantastic. Well, not like God of War. God of War is like, oh my god, that just looks wow.
Yeah, no, God of War.
It looks good.
There's a big jump for that. Have you heard of Feral Fury by chance? Feral Fury.
Feral Fury. The only thing I know about Feral is that they used to always talk about that on Crocodile, not Hunter, Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah, the right? Crocodile Hunter guy. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a feral right? snake, that guy. One that died.
He said viral snake, yeah.
Neither of us are doing a very good impression of that guy.
Thank God.
But anyway, Feral Fury.
But
I'll
no,
tell you all about
it. Video game.
Yeah, this game's called Feral Fury. It is, the chat room's looking at the menu screen here. There's a panda there for a good reason. You play a panda. And there's not much story here except that you're a panda man, and your job is to go into the fight with a gun and some armor and fight some stuff. And as usual, Scott has immersed himself into what you would call a roguelike. This has got procedurally generated levels, and they're hard. And when you die, you go back and you have you keep a little something with you so you can spend it on upgrades. So the next time you're in here fighting, you'll do more damage, or you might have longer life, or whatever the perks are that you're deciding to purchase. There's a ton of them. And, of course, there's different weapons you can get and stuff right now. I am currently still in the place where the gun I have is super basic. It can play with a mouse and keyboard, although I would highly recommend playing this game with a controller if you can. It is much better in that regard. You know, dual stick shooter style controls.
Is this in the PC?
PC, PlayStation, well, it's on Steam.
Right.
They have it also either coming to or already on Switch, but maybe not there yet.
It looks like it may be on the Android and the iOS as well. Is that?
Oh, is it? I don't know. Feral Fury, really?
I don't know.
No, I'd be surprised.
I'm looking. Yeah, iOS, Android, Steam.
Oh, weird. It's that surprises me because I don't think it's play that great on mobile, but maybe it'd be all right. It does have there is a setting for like, I want to have auto aim. It's the animation's a little herky jerky. Like your main dude, when you turn, it doesn't have a lot of frames of animation when he turns, but the effects of like killing stuff and blood and explosions and rad particle effects and all that are there. You can get power-ups and special cool stuff by blowing up chests and that sort of thing. I mean, everything here that you'd expect from a game like this. But I was surprised how deep it is, like how much fun I'm having.
Interesting.
I mean, there's nothing about it where you'd go, oh, this game is the greatest game ever made by anyone. Like, it's not like that.
Right.
But there is definitely a feeling of they got the basics right. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Like I like the top down. The screens almost reminded me of like a Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. It's a little bit like that one I played last week and told you about, or 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was. What's it called? I already forgot. The one where you go back to your shop and sell the stuff you got in the dungeon while you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember me talking about that? I can't remember the name.
Dungeon Doodle.
It's not Dungeon Doodle. It's like, Moonlighter. That's what it is.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did look at Moonlighter. I almost picked that up.
Yeah, Moonlighter's also got the same kind of layout where it's kind of. It's Zelda. I mean, really, yes, right. Binding of Isaac really is a more modern incarnation of this, but really it's all Zelda ripoffs. Not ripoffs, but they're using that idea.
But how important is it that you're a panda? Do you feel badass panda-like?
Oh, you're very badass. It's got great sound effects, really explosive stuff. Yeah. You're blowing people all over the place, like just guts and blood and stuff just smeared all over the floor.
How does a panda sound when he screams? Is there like a, is there a sound effect for that? Is that...
He goes, great, googly moogly. No, I don't. Actually, I don't know. I think he just kind of goes,
does he sound like Jack Black? Is that what he, no?
Right. A little bit, maybe. You clear stages, you go to the next one, stuff gets harder. It's what you think it is. Like everything I'm describing, you already kind of know what I'm talking about if you played anything like this before. The video I'm showing in the chat right now, I just got an upgrade to the shotgun, which is pretty awesome.
What?
There's tons of guns.
Have you gotten to this car riding mode yet?
No. Shut up. What car
what
riding mode?
What is that? I don't know. There's like a mode where like the panda's in like this spy hunter looking car, and he's traveling down the road, and the rain's like coming down like at a like that top down dramatic angle.
Is it a trailer or something?
Let's see. I'm on Google Images, kind of. Around. Let's see what exactly is going on there. NPC merchants. Oh, well, look at that. Don't you hate that? You go to Google Images and
they don't
bring what you're looking for.
Better than going to, just don't go to Bing Images or else you'll get,
oh my gosh, you'll be there forever. No, yeah. I don't see anything what stage or level this is at, but look forward to that.
Okay, driving panda.
Ivan,
I don't know why he's a panda. There's no reason for him to be a panda, but I'm kind of glad that he is.
Because he's not a llama.
Well, my point. Well, yes, but also it could be anything. They could have just made him. Here's Marine guy with the big gun, and he's doing the thing. Like it's really not that much different than that. But I like.
But
that
how boring would that be?
It would be kind of boring. I agree because everybody does Marine guy. You know.
Right.
I don't need
Plus
another.
There's the furry contingency, you know?
Oh, the furries love these things. They love the pandas, don't they? They're big panda fans.
I need me a top-down action shooter game. Quick, go.
Yeah, run.
Oh, my God, pandas.
Pandas, everybody. Pandas.
It kind of reminds me of like a Metroid-looking kind of character design, though, from the top.
I mean, a little. It's got the big shoulder pads and the stuff, and you unlock new skins and better armor and stuff like that. It's not that big a deal.
He doesn't have skins.
It's not. Yes, he's just a pink naked bear. And your job.
To unlock the skins. He just runs around.
Yeah. Unlocking skins hurts, it turns out.
Yeah. The air burns.
You also die real quick, so you got to be careful. And there's health and stuff like that. But it's like this traditional roguelike. Difficult. Fun to get into. Hard to master. Blah, 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 blah. So
like
I'm not.
I like it.
I'm
no, not, don't I'm blah only, blah blah. It looks
listen,
good.
I'm only going to recommend it to people who already kind of know what they're getting here. Like you know, you want a game like this because you know you play these, and if you don't, then you're not me because I love these kinds of games. So I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, or I'm irritating people who are sick of my roguelike recommendations. But
I never get tired of your roguelikes, because I honestly don't go out looking for roguelikes, because I know I'll get the roguelike report.
Yeah, you're going to get it from Scott, me.
And so sure. I just wait. It's perfect.
Yeah. Tell me about XCOM. You picked up XCOM 2, did you?
I did. You know, I had the PlayStation Plus. Have I mentioned that enough? See, people are going to get sick of that as well. Roguelikes. Well, guess what? I got PlayStation Plus. Guess what was free this time around? Mm-hmm. XCOM 2. Never played it. Mm-hmm. I played plenty of the other XCOMs. This is the follow-up to... What was the one that was so well received?
Right, it was called this? XCOM. XCOM Alien, or no? XCOM Aliens Rezo? Unknown. Nope.
Is that it?
Nope. XCOM Reza.
Anyway, I played XCOM 2. That's what I had for PlayStation 4. So it's turn-based. That's usually not my jam. But I got in here and I played it anyway.
Oh, I like turn-based a lot. Depends on what it is. This is John Jagger's game of 2017 was this game. He loved this game.
This is how I feel about turn-based games. Mm. I'm never in the mood for a turn-based game until I get in there and play it. And after about 30 minutes or so, I'm in. It's a different speed than everything else. It's not like, I don't know. I can't play anything else when I'm playing a turn-based game. I have to be like, All games I'm playing at that time have to be turn-based or not.
Well, then you're never going to... You know how I keep recommending Invisible Ink because it's on sale all the time and stuff? You don't want to...
Yes, I have that.
You may not want to play that because that's turn-based. I love that game, though.
I like that game. Once again, though, when I did that, I was playing a lot of turn-based stuff. Mm. And that's just... What is that? You don't do that? You can like just jump on a turn-based and go, I'm good. Now it's time to go play a first-person shooter. You can do that?
Yeah, I can totally do that. In fact, I did that this week. My next recommendation is going to be completely that. Not only that, but it's that right to the extreme.
Now, you had mentioned in the Feral Fury that I've been playing Detroit Become Human, which was this very emotional game where you're really emotionally attached to the characters. And I was thinking XCOM will be light.
Oh,
it'll
no.
Be turn-based. It'll be a little different. Man, I am so distraught.
It's not light at whenever all.
I'm so, well, I mean, yeah, not light, like, but I meant like character light, like, you know, like character, but big dumb soldiers, you know what I mean? Just, you know, I don't care. They die. Who gives a crap? Yeah. I care. Yeah. Dadgummit, this game got me. I was like, you get your four little soldier units there, and they go out on their little battlefield and they do their thing. And then one of them gets killed because some dumb choice you made.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and you come back and, you know, half your crew's beat up and there's one guy not there and they just look so sad. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad because I'm like, I'll never get to play that one character again, because they give all the characters these, you know, these unique names and all these characteristics that seem very simple. But for some reason, it tugs, and especially killed me when I went out on one mission and I was one tile away from evacuation because I had gotten in too much trouble. I'd gotten in too deep with the alien forces.
Yeah.
And I was trying to retreat. And you only have to get one of your characters to the rendezvous point to get everybody out of there. It was one of those missions where there's only so many turns before you fail.
Right.
And I ended up with one tile away from being able to escape, and my whole crew got wiped out.
It was
one of the crews I've been working on, because every time you come back from a mission, if they survive, you can promote them.
Right.
And if you really do really good, they keep going out on a bunch of missions. If they get injured, they have to sit out so many days, which is not real days, but
do you custom create yours and give them names and everything like people do?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't, but you can,
but yeah, you totally can. But I was curious, that'll make it even more personal because you can make them look.
No, exactly. I didn't want to get that attached. It's like when you play Dungeons and Dragons and you make that character and you roll all the stats and you do all the stuff, you get the backstory, and then you go out and you get killed and you're like, no.
So you're supposed to save. If you save before each mission, you're safe. If you're playing Iron Man mode, that doesn't matter because you're dead no matter what. Iron Man mode is like, sorry, everyone died. This is real life. Enjoy the next, you know, 10 minutes of your life.
I didn't even do that. I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't know that. I just thought it auto-saved and I was just trucking along.
Nope,
really? I
can
save before the mission?
You can totally
save
it before the mission. Yep. That's how I play it.
Oh, Anna Kendrick. Okay, I named one, but the rest of them I didn't name.
You named one Anna Kendrick?
Yes.
What's your deal with her? I didn't know you had a thing for her.
I had a...
I'm just kidding. Oh. Her first name was Anna. I don't know her last name. Right. Kendrick was the only thing I had. But yeah, there was several characters I got attached to because I kept promoting them. They kept doing so well, you know, and I felt really good. And it's like, oh, no. But yeah, if you haven't played XCOM, you got to play XCOM, right?
Yeah, nothing wrong with XCOM. Play it.
This is the most recent. This is the most recent one, 2016 XCOM mm-hmm. 2, I believe.
Did that come with Well, no, that's XCOM 2 is 2017, I think, wasn't it?
2017?
I think so.
I think it's the most recent one. I don't think there's any since then.
Oh, yeah, and, definitely. You know, played, there is an expansion to it, though, that's supposed to be awesome, but I doubt you get
something
the expansion.
Something about the older ones, I didn't really feel attached to the characters. I don't remember, were we promoting them and carrying them through so many scenes? I just remember having a certain set of characters, and they died, and you'd start over the mission. I don't remember all of this other...
Enemy
Unknown
saving.
Was the last one I played.
Maybe you weren't saving, right? Or maybe you were saving in that one, not in this one.
Right.
Maybe there's an option for it. Maybe you turn it on. Maybe you have to turn on autosave before mission or something like that.
Right. War of the Chosen.
Yeah, that's the new. That's the expansion that's out right now.
But they've got some really cool bad guys. You're fighting this alien hybrid because some of them have like assimilated humans in some form or fashion, I believe. Oh, by the way, the ship you're in, by the way, if you haven't played XCOM 2, the ship you have is kind of neat because you got this cutaway view and you have different areas like engineering the bridge, you know, and for research and all these other places to keep your weapons and your characters and everything. And when you first start out, you've only got like so many spots open that you're using from the alien ship that you've acquired.
Yeah.
And as you go along, you can clear out different spots in the alien ship and I guess grow your ship.
Yeah.
And make it, you know, go faster. There's a lot of upgrade stuff going on. So it's a pretty complex game.
Yeah.
Very complex.
I love turn-based strategies. I just haven't gotten into two for I don't know what reason. I played the hell out of Enemy Unknown. That I may have burned out on it, but it might be worth returning to at some point.
I think Enemy Unknown I played a pretty good bit, and maybe I remember it wrong, but it did not seem as deep as XCOM 2. Yeah. And maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. I'll have to go back and load it back up.
All right. Well, it reviewed well, and you know,
yeah,
people are into it. You do what you got. You get what you got. Hey, do you ever play Quake? Remember Quake back in the day?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Did you ever play Quake?
Ah, doing my. Yeah. What was his name? I forgot his name that he was always doing.
Oh, I was doing almost a little bit of Harry Carey.
Yeah,
not
a little
much.
Bit of Harry
just
Carey.
That was mostly Norm MacDonald's. No, I'm sorry. Will Ferrell's Harry Carey.
Yeah,
just
that
a
was
little,
a Will Ferrell deal,
touch.
If I remember right. But anyway, so Quake, it was a big deal for me and you growing up. Like, huge game.
Yes.
The mid-90s was punctuated by my time with Quake. I loved Quake to death. I played the hell out of it. I was playing Deathmatch until my eyes bled at night. Like, we loved Quake. And
we modded the crap out of Quake. Mods.
Oh, yeah. Mod. Well, I got bad news for you. Not going to be able to mod the thing I'm going to tell you about. However, if you were hoping that Quake Champions, which right now it's in early access, and to get in you have to pay like $29, or since E3, they announced on stage there at the Bethesda event, they said, yo, y'all can play, you can download this now, and then when the time's up, you can keep it as if you bought it. So I thought, well, I'm doing that. So I did. And
I did it too.
Yeah. It's, I am happy to report one thing about it for sure that I'm definitely sure about. It is Quake-ass Quake. It feels like Quake. It's fast like Quake. It is twitchy as hell like Quake. It reminds me of my Quake days in a very serious way. And I really like playing it. Like, I'm
now, is it twitchy like Quake 1 twitchy or Quake 2 twitchy?
Quake 1 more Quake 1 and Quake 3 would be my comparisons.
Right.
More Quake 1 than I expected, but definitely there's some Quake 3. The feeling of Quake 3 is in there a little
right,
bit.
Right.
At least visually and stuff. But you know, they've got all these characters like BJ Blazkowicz from the Wolfenstein games is a character I played a bunch the other night. He's great. He does this dual wield ability. After you charge up his thing, you hit F, and that's like his super. Each character has a super of some point. There's a Doom guy. There's
like just imagine to holding that F down.
Just holding down that F. You got to wait for it to catch up or to build, and then then you just hit F. And it's like Overwatch in the queue or whatever. Same idea.
Right, right.
It's the weapons feel really good. It's super responsive. It looks good. It's really fast. It's got the right point POV, like the what's POV stand for? I forgot all of a sudden.
Point of view.
Point of view.
So,
is that right?
Yeah. So does it kind of stretch on the outside a little bit when you're?
Yeah. It's got like that. When you're just viewing it, it's obvious. When you're playing it though, it feels just right. It feels like Quake. It feels what Quake used to feel, because that's what Quake used to have. Anyway, people drop shards. They act as, whatever. There's ammo pickups. There's weapon pickups, health pickups. The stuff you loved about Quake and arena shooters are there. There's still a lot of question whether arena shooters even have a chance anymore. But I had so much fun with this that I am now a believer. I really like it. My only complaint, and this is a big one, my big complaint is the same complaint a lot of people have about it, and that is it's business strategy is very much that old chestnut of we got a couple different currencies and make sure you log in every day for a dumb thing. And then also here's a loot box and here's two other kinds of loot boxes that are going to cost you more. But hey, they have more chance of dropping a thing and that's fine. It's fine.
I don't need that, Michael.
It's one of those things. It's one of the ways people make money on free to play games right now. So I understand it. It feels weird on top of a Quake game because Quake was never this in the past.
Yeah.
All of that being said, if you're
got Quake money, I'll just give you the Quake money.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you want to get in and you want to have a good Quake time, missile launchers and weird guns and speed and frenetic action, I have great news for you. That's what they're making. And it's good. I think it's good. And I got into matches, no problem. Bit, bat, boom, getting in, getting out. It was no problem finding people to play with. It was easy. I did really well. That muscle memory comes back, man.
Yes.
Like you're suddenly...
How fast are those rockets?
They're not super fast. They're like they felt in Quake 1 is what they remind me of.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Because they're not instant. They're not like a... Right. You know, it's not like a rail gun. Yeah.
The rail guns are amazing too, but yeah.
So anyway... Super impressed so far. I'm really surprised, actually. Right now, it's PC only. I don't think this is on consoles, to answer a chat room question. But there's a lot of cosmetics in there. I mean, it's the Overwatch model, except for the buy the game. I kind of wish it was the way Overwatch does it, where you buy the game and then everything's cosmetics from then on. This also has, well, do you want to buy the heroes? You know? Hey, here's the thing, though. No, but it's not like class-based. Everybody's just got cool different stuff they do. So you're all on equal ground. When you're fighting and it's you and a lady, she has just as good a chance to kill you as you do her. It's not like it's Junkrat versus a healer or something. So it's a very different kind of thing. So in this case, it makes sense that they might sell characters rather than in Blizzard's case, that would be a very bad idea because without the characters, if you don't own them, you'll never be matched in a match that have them and you need them for good team compositions. This doesn't have that. It's just go kill a guy with a thing. That's it. And if
always
that's,
the ugliest, yeah. always the ugliest character design in Quake. It's always been my favorite. It's just so ugly.
Oh, it's great. It's just, they're kind of like that in this. I mean, there's some that are actually really well made, but there's some that are just like the Quake guys. It's just so stupid looking, but in a great way, in a great way. So I know a lot of people blew this off because they were hearing free to play and they were like, what? No way. I'm pretty impressive.
You are pretty impressive, Scott.
I'm very impressed.
Have you seen me play Quake? I'm pretty impressive.
I'm going to keep playing it. In fact, I'm craving it right now, and I haven't felt that way about an arena Twitch shooter in a very long time. And since Unreal Tournament seems to be stalled, I don't know what they're doing. They got too much Fortnite money now over at Epic. They're like, ooh, we got all the Fortnite money. What do you want to do with this Unreal thing? Ignore it for months.
I can't blame them, but I am a little sad.
I'm very
sad.
That was my
other go-to game after Quake. After I'd gotten sick enough of playing Quake 3, I was like, to do something else.
Yeah. So this is scratching that itch, and happy to say so. So check it out. Quake Champions, available now on Steam for free. But you got to hurry up.
Free?
There's a date that ends, and I don't know what it is. I should probably look that up. Hold on.
As soon as possible, get it now before it's too late.
I have it up right now. Let me.
And all I got to do is add it to your library. You don't even have to download it. I'm still waiting to download mine. I haven't even done it yet.
Let's see. Quake Champions. Yeah, currently free. It's also on sale if you buy into anything. Oh my gosh, I hate this date check. Does anyone ever put anything real? Hey guys, guess what? I was born January 1st, 1920.
Yes, January 1st, pick a year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, and the most recent reviews have gone way, way up because previous to this, people complained a lot about the price structure, and now it's back to mostly positive. But anyway, you get the Champions Pack for 19. That's 34% off. That'll give you every champion. I'm thinking about doing that at this point.
Do it. Why not? Give them the Quake money, man. I think I'm going to do it.
I'm impressed with the gameplay enough that I think I found it cathartic. And normally this is supposed to stress you out and freak you out. But I'm playing it going, oh, yeah.
Dude,
like getting
I still got this groove. I'm so old school Quake. I still have a metal tin Quake box that allowed you to install it on Linux.
Oh, yeah. Remember those days?
An official release.
Yeah.
In a big old metal tin box that you could actually was meant and designed to run on Linux.
Yeah.
It was good times.
Well,
I was so excited.
I would recommend checking this out. I think it's a blast.
Do it.
I'm having a whole lot of fun with it, and I don't want to stop ever playing.
Don't stop. Never stop.
All right. Brian, tell me
Quad
about Spit Kiss. This sounds terrible. Oh. I don't know if you want to hear this. What is this?
Spit Kiss is one of those cutesy artsy fartsy games.
Okay.
So no, seriously, it just grabbed me visually. I was like, oh, I gotta take a look at this. I want to say it was in early development whenever I first got it. But
it sounds disgusting. By the way, it sounds so gross.
So okay, so let me describe you a few things real quick. Get an idea of how modern this kind of game is. Spit Kiss is a trippy story of boundless love told through precision platforming weight. The game includes themes of polyamory and gender fluid non-binary identities on two layers. One story takes place in the meta narrative of the Spit Kissers. The other in the hand-drawn story of the life of Ymir, the person whose body their story takes place inside. You play as the Spit Kissers, sending messages of love and hope back and forth only the way you can. And that way is there's this big, nasty looking graphic of a heart down at the bottom, like a real heart, not like that Valentine's bullshit. And basically, you take and you flick in that heart area, and your character on screen has to kind of almost looks like.
It's like bullet, it looks like bullet time or something, how it slows down. It's weird.
Yeah, it does. It slows down. So imagine a Meat Boy kind of level where it's got all those little sticky spines and stuff, but you don't move. Your character stands in one spot, and you take the little ball, which is the spit, and it starts from you, and you flick it towards a direction you think it can go where it won't hit spikes and get beat up or whatever. Or if it can actually you usually aim either at a wall or a dot hanging in the air, and that gives you like another hit. So you keep flicking it, and you try to get through these little areas like they're almost maze-like, and you have to make your spit.
It sounds horrendous.
Through the screen.
That sounds
navigate
gross.
Through the screen, and then land on your recipient. It's fun. It's fun, but frustrating, especially the first eight levels for me.
Why does that look like a colon? Why does it look like a big colon they're in?
The heart is disgusting. It is big. It's disgusting, but it really is too small. I'm playing this on like a 5.5-inch screen on my little Android device or whatever those things are, like 8x5, whatever. Anyway, they suggest and they keep reminding you, by the way, when you're flicking to not flick like in the middle of the screen, because that's where I naturally want to go. I want to kind of, you know, flick where it's big, where I can make big sweeping movements. Mm-hmm. But it says, no, you got to stay down in that little heart area, which is like maybe in a 1/2-inch square down at the very bottom. So you got to be very accurate with your flicking. But it's difficult. It is a difficult game. And you think I'd just quit, but I don't. I just keep coming back because it's such an interesting looking game and such an interesting concept. that I don't know. I just keep coming back. And I'm playing this on the Android. I'm not sure if this is on the
not yet.
It looks like it's in development. It may be unstable.
Yeah, it's in it's open beta right now on Android. Looks like it is coming to everything when they're done. But
Spitkiss, all one word. It's exactly what you think it is.
Spitkiss. Oh, it's just a saying. It makes me gross out. Good luck to them on that. All right, I also downloaded, so Clea mentioned, or Clay, or how you say their names. Big fan.
Clea.
Clea. Is it Clea? I say Clea. My daughter says Clay and says I'm wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, she's probably right.
Who knows? You and I, one of the first games you and I ever streamed and recorded for YouTube was, what was the game? The earliest
don't
one?
Starve?
No, no, it was the guy that fought.
I know what he's talking about. Yeah, the ninja.
Shank,
that was it.
Yeah, Shank. The Ninja, Mark of the Ninja was later. That's an amazing game. My favorite game they ever did, I think, was Mark of the Ninja. That's right up there with Invisible Ink, my favorite game of 2015. I think they make incredible games. I don't like Don't Starve because it's a survival game, and I don't like those. That's not their fault. They're improving on a pattern, a thing that I already don't like. So it's not their problem. Right. I like the art style. I like a lot of things about it, but I can't stand worrying about hunger and mental stability. I freaking hate it. Well,
it is Clay. According
is it Clay?
To the internet,
okay. Well, here's what happened. Scott saw there was a new a sale up for Clay.
Yes, games. Clay.
K-L-E-I. And one of them for sale was the one that's still in early access, which is Oxygen Not Included. They're still tweaking that thing, not ready for full release yet. However, it was on sale, and I thought, well, that's normally like $24. It's on sale for $14.99. The kids got it, and they said, Dad, you should get it. I said, okay, I'll get it. So I got it. I picked it up because I like those guys. And boy, howdy, that game has got some complicated systems in it. One thing I do like about it, though, is the insanity thing setting and the setting for how your people get disease and all that. You can set that so that they won't get those things. I like that because then it's less of a survival game. But in other ways, it's like Fallout Shelter, or it's like a little bit like what you do in XCOM in the side of the mountain for your, you know, building your upgrades, like having rooms dedicated to certain stuff. So it's kind of like that. It's a little like Terraria. It's a little like, kind of Minecraft.
I definitely was getting that vibe as well. So is the oxygen is the primary driving goal, right? Because you've got to harvest oxygen.
You gotta find it, and you gotta find it, harvest it, best use it. Like it's your really hard to get resource, so it's something you have to kind of mess with. What surprised me the most about it, despite the fact that you're always kind of at risk for dying or, you know, other things, it has a very there's like a Sims vibe in a big way, and I don't mean visually. It reminds me more of something like Don't Starve, but there's a Sims quality to the gameplay that I didn't expect, and I really like. I think it actually really helps the game be something I want to play. But it's incredibly complicated systems. Here's how it's like with the Sims. If you you want this whole wall of copper mined, so you can just go highlight that with the mine tool, and then they're all just going to run over there and do it depending on who you've told to have that job. So it works like Sims that way, where you'll do a thing, and then the Sim will kind of go do the thing. Do you know what I mean? You're not controlling them directly. You're just creating opportunity for them, and then they go do it. It's hard to explain, but it's very a lot more complicated than I thought when I got into it. I thought it was going to be less complicated, and it's not. It's more complicated.
And it's very cutesy, just like most of the Clay games. Mm-hmm. I picked this up as well this past week. I got it a little bit cheaper because I already owned, if you look for the Clay Survival Bundle, which is still on sale as well, if you already own some of the Don't Starve games in that bundle, which I did, you could pick it up for about $11.99. So this is super cheap if you get it with the bundle, if you've already got the Don't Starve, which I think a lot of people already do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
but
how
you bought it regular, didn't you?
No, that's how I got it. That's how I got it so cheap. I already have the other as well. I mean, I tried Don't Starve a lot. I tried Don't Starve together with the kids. It bored the hell out of me. I couldn't do it. This seems neat. This is something I'm definitely gonna play and get into. and play more of. It seems really well thought out. It's just got so much crap going on. Like, so much stuff to do. So many tools.
And it looks like it's already... Do they already have a add-on? Because it looks like Cosmic is
just
part
a patch.
Of the new,
that was just
pack.
A patch,
just a patch. Okay.
I think it's just a patch, yeah. But like, yeah. You can
well,
see...
Well, I'm looking forward to this being on some other consoles as well. Is it already on the Switch?
I don't think so. I think it's PC only at the moment.
So
just at the
PC
moment.
Only.
Well, they like the movement. They'd like to have their games.
Well, Clay's
a,
yeah, Clay's pretty, you know, they're pretty fast moving. Mm-hmm. Very positive reviews so far.
Oh yeah, no, this is pretty widely acclaimed, so I'm probably in good hands here long term. I just need to play it more and get myself used to it. But if you're playing it on normal like my kids are, it's like diseases and hunger and stress levels and all the stuff you got to manage. I'm just happy to report that you don't have to worry about that stuff if you don't want to. You can turn all that off.
Right. That sounds a lot like the Fallout shelter. That sounds a lot like that.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a lot like that. And a lot of it, I mean, the big difference here is you're exploring unexplored terrain. So you're boring holes through walls so you can get to a place where there's more oxygen sources, or you're getting to a place where that's fertile ground so you can grow some of your plants or whatever.
I'm down.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it so far. I'm not in enough to say for sure, but
yeah, that's I want to say also a couple of these games I played this week, like Spit Kiss. I'm only like level 9. I can't say whether it sucks or not. XCOM, I'm only like a few hours in. I can just give you the experience from that so far. Detroit, I've played maybe 3 or 4 hours, but considering I haven't seen any how long to beat data on that game, I can't really say completely, but I'll be reporting back in as I go along on that game especially.
Yeah, this one I'll have to. I need some time.
I'll play it this week as well, and maybe we can kind of get back together and see what we think.
All right.
And then you'll say, didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I quit, and I'll go, you suck.
Those are our main games. Now, you have one here where you, it's very profane. I'm not going to read it, but I don't think you like this game. So maybe you want to talk about this.
I actually like the game a pretty good bit, but I was making these show notes, and my iPad that I was playing it on this past week, I played it a lot, and I left it on. And I left the game running, and it died. And I was like, "Oh crap!" And I was like, "What was the name of that? What was the name of the game?" I was like, "Oh, I can't remember." And I'm like, and so I was trying to find the charges. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna look it up. I'm just gonna look it up real quick. No big deal.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'll just launch iTunes and see what apps I've bought recently. Went down this freaking butthole rat hole, squirrel hole. What is it? I don't know. Anyway, I got really mad at Apple because they did not make it easy in any way whatsoever to find out what apps I've purchased in the past.
Those are easy to find. What are you talking about? Super simple.
If your iPad or iPhone or iOS device is turned on, you can look all you want. iTunes last year took out the App Store.
Oh, right.
Out of the
so
thing.
You're
so I was like, well, I'll
a
just
desktop or something. I see.
Yeah. So I said, I'll just download, 12.4.5 iTunes and I'll just pop back in there. No, they disconnected all that too. So after jumping through all these freaking hoops, I was profanity laden. Anyway, the game that I did kind of enjoy was called Almost a Hero. By the way, it's not on just iOS, where I'm never going to play it again, you jerks. Just out of pure spite.
It's so just get a cord, plug it in, and look at your purchase. It's not hard. Just plug it in.
It was in my office and my cable was inside and I didn't feel like doing all that.
Oh,
plus it was
thing.
The principle of the thing.
Yeah.
But why does it need to be so difficult?
The principle is you should charge your stuff. That's what the principle should be.
The principle is everybody else lets me look at my stuff. Don't be a dick. Almost a Hero is the name of the game. It's one of them tap quest games.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah, sometimes I like those because sometimes I just feel like, it's an idle clicker.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either sit there and click and go to town, or you can let it sit for a little while, accrue a little bit of credits. But it's just your standard typical idle clicker game. But it looks really good, and I like the characters that they've made. They're a lot of fun. They say silly things when you're fighting. It's a real easy layout. There's there's your good guys on the left-hand side and the bad guys kind of come up and you have all these pre-designed animations where you're swinging swords in the air and you're not really hitting anything.
Right.
But, you know, the other characters take damage. And every 10 levels, you fight a boss and there's epic bosses. So it's all your typical stuff. But the one thing I did like about it is I'm actually like another character because you have your own powers. You're wearing a ring, essentially. You can't see yourself. But when you tap, these little electric bolts go out and hit the bad guys. So you feel like you're part of the little team. Without actually clicking on the team. So you're managing the team while at the same time supporting the team.
Yeah.
And if you go away, there's upgrades you can do that allows the allows them to continue playing while you're not there. It's not ad spammy, which I was so thankful for because some of these clickers can be really ad spammy. There's practically very few ads, and the ads I do get are quality ads, and they're really good rewards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of systems, though. There's a lot of systems. Sometimes I like a lot of systems. Sometimes I don't. This one has a few too many systems. It's like, oh, you buy gems because they do this. You buy coins because they do this. You buy sparkly glitter goo because it does this. And, you know, and then you buy glowing orbs. And it's just like, I can't keep up with all this.
Mm. Yeah, it's an acquired taste, these games.
It's for the iOS and Android. I like it.
All right. Get it now. And don't let your battery run out, jackasses.
Don't let your battery run out or Apple will forever go, no, ain't telling you. What'd I play? I ain't telling you.
It's not. It's easy to see. I think you can actually log in.
Just stick it in my iCloud. Stick it somewhere where I can see it.
It is. I think you just didn't know it. I don't think you just knew that it was there. I think it's on their way. I think all you have to do is log in with your Apple thing and you see your purchases. I think it's that easy.
I did all of that. Now, yeah, that's the thing that frustrated me the most. Probably the real thing about it is that
you'd have to do that with Google Play, though. It's the same thing. Just go to the website.
No, but I can log in. No. I can log into Google Play and immediately see all my purchases on my Android device, my PC, anywhere. iTunes, you have all these answers that aren't answers. So I go, how do you look up your previous app purchases? Here's 12 different ways to do it, none of which work.
This is not hard. I'm telling you, this is so easy. You're not.
I guarantee you that if you get on your PC and you try to look for your previous app purchases, you will not find them.
Okay, I'm doing it right now. You ready?
You won't find them.
Hold on. Apple Store account.
Orders. Now, are you on a PC?
I'm on a computer right now.
No, you say a computer.
I'm on a computer.
You on a Mac operating system?
It doesn't matter. It's a browser. It's just a browser.
Okay.
So that's all I'm doing. I can't get in here, though. I'm not doing this on the air. I'm going to find out later how hard this is. Maybe it's as hard as you say, but I swear I've done this like browser in three clicks before.
I've done it before. But last year when they decided that they didn't want to put that in iTunes anymore and they wanted to split it off to just
I found it.
You can't freaking find nothing.
No, it's right here. I got it. I just got to log in. Let me log in real fast. I have my password.
Oh, no, I forgot my password. Oh, there's five days worth of password recovery.
Two-factor authentication. Hold on. This is good to get. Everybody should have their two-factor authentication. Anyway, all you have to do, there it is.
Yeah.
Delivered. Here it is. This is all my stuff.
So what website did you go to?
Just Apple.com.
Apple.com. Yeah. Okay. And I'm on Apple.com.
And on the front page, you got front page. Way down at the bottom, you got all this stuff down there. And the one you're looking for is the one.
So where do I log in at? Here, hold a second.
I don't know.
How did you log in?
I'm trying to find it. You can log in anywhere. Just hit anything that needs an access.
Here we go. I see. Okay.
Yeah, here we go. iOS. Browse downloads by product. Here it is. Well, this is not as easy as music? It should be.
Because I've seen plenty of music.
Yeah, maybe it's not so easy.
Movies.
Maybe it's not as easy as I thought. And iTunes used to do it. They don't do it anymore. It used to be the place you'd go, but they don't do the App Store on there anymore.
No.
Because
annoying.
Well, it's kind of...
I know it's kind of random that it's like, I need to do it offline, but sometimes you need to. And it's why would you lock all that stuff down?
Well, maybe it's not as bad as you think, and we just don't know. We got to figure it out.
I eventually got over it.
My experience with Apple stuff is sometimes it seems like something's missing, and then you realize, oh, it's just so dumb. It's so simple that it's oversimple. Like they oversimplified it, made it hard to find.
Right.
Like obscurity, security by obscurity.
Oh my God.
What? Right. What happened?
Don't see. Only purchases from the last 18 months will be shown here. Nothing. Don't see your order? Find it now. Click. What's your order number? What if I do a son of a.
I love this.
Thank you so much.
This is the greatest conversation we've ever had. Ah! All right. Time for us to play. Oh, I still don't have a theme for it.
I don't like Steam.
There's our theme. We're going to play
Perfect.
Guess My Game. We didn't do it, or it's been a while since it's time for us to do it. We're going to start with me. I'm going to play mine, okay?
You tell me
if you can guess this game. And chat room, it's your chance to have some fun, too. Here you go. Guess this game.
Pac-Man.
No. Nope.
Come on. Stay low.
Any guesses yet?
It sounds like I don't know. It's like you're shooting Yetis or something. What is
my favorite part of this is the stay low part. I always remember this. It's an arcade game. That's the hint.
Yeah, the stay low does sound familiar.
All right, any idea?
Wow, I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds like a Contra type kind of game, but
chat room saying SWAT. No, they're saying Time Crisis. SWAT, no. Although Time Crisis is Crisis. Closer.
That's a good guess. Yeah.
I Do Geek. Got it. Area 51 is the game. Area 51.
Ah.
Yeah.
Play it again. Just give me the stay low thing.
All right, let's get to that guy. Stay low.
I can see it now.
Yeah, it's definitely that game. Well done. Congratulations.
What was she saying, though? I couldn't understand what she was saying.
She was just going. She was on the radio. So who knows? That game looks like garbage, but I played it in an arcade a week ago with the kids at a Nickelcade and had a blast. I forgot how much fun that game is. It's actually one of the funner light gun games, despite the fact that it looks like somebody's freaking poop smear. It really looks bad. Very bad. It's definitely a thing of its time. 90 something?
It's got to be 90 something.
I wrote this down somewhere.
Wow, that can't be right. That's the wrong one. Let me see.
95 is the year. 95. Here, let's look it up on Wikipedia. Here's the Wikipedia chat room. Here it is. It was a light gun game released in arcades by Atari Games in 1995. It takes the name of the Area 51 military facility. Plot of the game involves the player called Peterson. Takes part in a star strategic tactical advanced alien response team. They are fighting the military incursion to prevent aliens known as the Kron. The alien creatures, the alien created zombies from taking over Area 51's military facility. And you have to be careful because you have to not shoot good guys and only shoot the bad guys. And they made a sequel to this, which I played also the other day. It was okay. But this came out for PC, Saturn, PlayStation, and that's it as well. And those were that was a thing you could do. Uh-huh. So there you go. Area 51. Brian, I'm going to play yours now.
Look at those. Look at those red and on that thing.
It's bad, isn't it? And the little explosions for death are stupid. They're super dumb.
Yeah, but it came with those big, nice red and blue laser guns, right?
Yeah, those were cool. No one had ever confused those with actual guns, which is what was cool about those. All right, I'm going to play your clip. I have no idea what this is. Here it is. Oh, my gosh. This is a little bit familiar.
You recognize that processor? Console.
I don't know what this is.
It wants to be Mario.
Okay, hold on. This music is fantastic.
Yeah. It's one of those games that if you never played it, you really never played it.
I don't know what this is.
Or if you got in with a bundle, you played the crap out of it.
Oh, a bundle. Okay, wait.
Well, I'm really getting a bundle.
Is it like a best of compilation? How old is this? What's the era we're talking about?
This is Super NES.
Super NES.
I don't remember what year it was. It would be initial release in 1992.
Yeah, that sounds like a Super NES.
Yep.
I have no idea, but I kind of love that music. Who is this? What is this?
It is Super Adventure Island.
I don't remember this.
Like I said, you either played it. It's kind of like that croc from last week. Either you was in that group of people that had this knockoff piece of crap. Mm-hmm. Or he had all the official games.
Oh, they had a sequel to this too. There was a 2.
Yeah.
At one point, which is kind of cool. Oh yeah, here it is, a whole playthrough. Somebody's got this thing on YouTube. Let's look at it. Let's see if there's a volume.
It's a fun little game. Oh, some guys. It's definitely a Mario knockoff, especially the first one. The first Adventure Island. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. This girl and this man want to be together. And now there's a ghost creature that doesn't want it. Oh,
listen to that noise.
Pretty good. Yeah, let's get to gameplay. Here you go. This looks kind of terrible.
Oh, it's so bad. No, it's not. This is fun. Bad.
It does look like a Hudson Soft game. Is it a Hudson Soft game?
It is a Hudson Soft game. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was wondering what clues is going to give you. I wasn't sure if you remember that or not.
Yeah, Hudson Soft games all look the same.
Yeah.
They had the same vibe. Yep. Well, that's crazy. There you go. That's a guess my game. And we both did terribly today. We couldn't guess each other's
games.
Right.
I didn't tell what the chat room did good with yours, but I might have went a little too niche.
Well, niche
with mine.
Niche is only good if you're eating quiche. Right. Oh, that music means it's time for one news story, everybody. It's not really news as it is. As it is information about what you can expect from E3 release dates. So we had E3. They came out and showed us a bunch of games we're into. But one thing they don't do a lot of is give you dates. Sometimes they give you a general idea coming this fall. Sometimes they'll get real specific and say November 11th. But sometimes they don't tell you jack. So we're going to tell you what you're going to get and how you're going to get it. The things that mattered most. Octopath Traveler, which looked really cool on the Nintendo Switch. You're going to get that July 13th. I think I may pick that up, even though I don't really like JRPGs.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. Madden NFL 19 for Windows PC. Back to Windows for the first time in a long time.
Oh.
Xbox One and PlayStation 4, all getting it on August 10th. September 7th, you get the Spider-Man.
Yes.
For PlayStation, which everyone's really looking forward to.
You know what that looks like? A Spider-Man game.
Yeah, a little bit like Spider-Man. You got your NBA Live 19 for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One the same day. September 14th, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, PlayStation 4, Windows, PC, and Xbox One. No more time release on that one. Everyone gets it at the same time for this Tomb Raider. FIFA 19, probably be the year's biggest seller, whether people like it or not. Yeah. Switch, PlayStation 4, Windows, and Xbox One.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Forza Horizon 4.
Heard.
Windows, PC, and Xbox One. I am interested in that. October 2nd. That is the same day you get Mega Man 11 on everything.
Yeah!
Assassin's Creed Odyssey on the 5th also. Or no, not also. That's the 5th and not also. PlayStation 4, Windows PC, Xbox One. Super Mario Party also on the Switch that same day. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 for PS4, Windows, Xbox One on the 12th. On the 16th of October, you got your Starlink Battle for Atlas, that weird Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One Toys to Life unit deal. Not caring about that at all, by the way. I really don't care.
And I've got to get it.
I don't want it. October 5th or 19th. These are all big releases, obviously. We're not counting a bunch of little weird stuff that Brian and I always get on Steam. But Battlefield 5 for the PS4, Windows, and Xbox One. November 13th, Hitman 2.
Hitman.
PlayStation 4. I'm very excited about that. PS4, Windows, and Xbox. And
what, didn't we already have a Hitman 2?
No, you just had a Hit. Remember, they've rebooted it. So yeah, the last one was just Hitman. Now they're back to Hitman 2. If it's like that first game, and it seems like it certainly is. Oh boy. So
it's
excited.
Going to be good.
That was a really good game. Fallout 76 lands on the 14th of November.
That's where I'm landing.
Yeah, that'll be good. November 16th, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee on the Nintendo Switch. December 4th, Just Cause 4 on everything except for the Switch, I guess. That's exciting because I love those. December 7th, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on the Nintendo Switch. And then sometime in 2018, because these aren't locked down yet, we have two games, Tetris Effect for the PlayStation 4 VR and Metal Wolf Chaos XD for the PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. Everything past that, anybody worried about Anthem or Days Gone or the new Metro game or Crackdown, all that's in 2019. So we're not talking about any of that. By the way, this list conspicuously leaves off Red Dead Redemption, probably because they didn't show anything at E3. They don't show them anything. Right. So that's also coming out, by the way, October 5th. Sorry, Assassin's Creed. You picked a shitty day to come out.
Yeah, you did. Goodbye, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Anyway, there's that. That's it for the news. That's really, there's not a lot else going on. I mean, there's some things, but who cares? They're all boring.
Well, we just got through at E3. I mean, what else can you say?
No, you can't say much. I am going to read this email, though. This email came to us from Josh. It came to boopshow@gmail.com, and he says, "Hello, Scott. If this isn't the right place to email you about the show, then sorry. I just clicked the email link at the bottom of the page. Just wanted to say I enjoy you and Patrick and everybody's coverage of E3 and also talk about how you feel about Xbox. This isn't to bash you for not getting one. This is my opinion, but I think Xbox doesn't really care about competing with Sony in console sales." Look, I think you could be a diehard Sony fan. You could be a diehard Microsoft fan. You could be a diehard Nintendo fan. If you think they're not in it to compete and get more sales than the next guy, that's usually you conceding that they're not winning and you're trying to come up with excuses. I'm not saying that your email's a bad email. I'm just saying, of course they're competing with Sony for sales. Of course they would.
How about this? Their business plan originally was to beat Sony. And since that's not happening, they're going to take a little different tack, right?
Well, if that's what he means, then fine. Here's what he says. I'll read what he says and we can, you know, say what we want to say. All right. So he says, "This is my opinion, but I think Xbox doesn't really care about competing with Sony in console sales. I think they are trying to get those people who can't afford a high-end PC. Most of their new exclusives are coming out for PC and Xbox. The majority of these take advantage of the Play Anywhere feature. Since you are usually a PC gamer, it doesn't make much sense for you to actually get an Xbox, especially if the people you play with are on PC as well. I will say that the only reason to get an Xbox for you would be to take advantage of the Play Anywhere feature so that you'd want to just lounge on the couch and play it pretty easily. Plus, since Xbox uses cloud saves, you can pick up where you left off. Anyway, keep up the good work and all your shows and art. Have a great day, Josh." Now,
thanks, Josh.
Josh, I think that's the mode they're in now. Yes, I agree with you 100%. There's absolutely no way under any sun in this universe that Microsoft is not in the console business to dominate it and beat the competition, in this case, Sony. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. Same with Sony last generation. So it's dog eat dog, and yes, they've essentially lost this generation's fight, whatever. I don't know why it has to be a competition, but there it is. And because of that, they're doing some really smart things over there. Their Game Pass thing is awesome. I kind of want it. I think that makes perfect sense, but don't ever think that they're not in this to make money. Microsoft does not get into businesses unless they make money, and they are known to pull right out the minute they don't make it. So Windows Phone's a good example. The Zune.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I could name a ton of products where Microsoft's
They really try with the Zune, though. They didn't try too hard with the Windows Phone, but they really tried with that Zune, man.
Well, they tried for what?
They failed.
They gave it 3 years. I don't know if that's really trying that hard.
I think it was a little longer than three, I think.
It was short.
How
long did the Zune last? Okay, it says here the Zune was released 2006, 5 years after the iPod's release. The Zune HD came out in 2009, 2 years after the iPod Touch went on sale. By that point, iPod had become the world's de facto digital entertainment device. When is it? It doesn't say when they came. Oh, that same year, 2009. So they the HD,
wow,
the year
they
canceled it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, bums me out because there were some cool things about that hardware.
There was, but the one thing that was not was brown is the new black.
Yeah, that was bad. Although Ibit has one, I think.
I love the brown. I had the Zune forever. It's basically just a hard drive.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It's a big old giant hard drive.
Yeah, big fat hard drive.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's that. And you make a good point, but I think that Microsoft would really like to be ahead this generation. There's no other way
I'm happy with what that they're not trying to do anything stupid, I guess. I think they're making the right moves because once you get this far behind, it'd be really hard to switch that field. You just got to focus on the next console generation, right?
Yep. You got to get your head in the game, get ready for the next thing. And I expect them to be formidable. The stuff they announced at E3 this year with buying up all these new developers and stuff, or these developers to be in-house, that's a huge investment, and that means they're serious. So I would not ever count Microsoft out.
Ew.
And I very much look forward to see how that all pays off for them. All right, time for us to get out of here. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. You can go there anytime and check out stuff like comments in the blog. If you want to like type a thing and say, I disagree with Brian and I think he's weird, you can totally do that in there. You can also send us emails, boopshow@gmail.com. There's also a contact link right there on the page. Can't talk. I can't talk today.
It's okay. It's okay. You've been up all day.
I have had a busy day.
You can't expect to be awake from, 9 in the morning till 9 at night.
Not like a normal person. Crazy. Yeah. What am I, an alien? You can find us on Twitter at Boop Show. Find Brian at TheBrianDunaway. Find me at Scott Johnson. And the show on Reddit is at boopshow.reddit.com. And Boop Show on Twitter as well. Hey, Brian, anything else? Anything else I'm missing?
No. Well, I don't think so. I'm excited about an upcoming week of games. If you want to play along with us, I'll be playing Detroit Become Human. I'm also going to try this Oxygen Not Included. And there was a game that I picked up off Chrono.gg. You guys know I like the deals. And Chrono.gg is another one of those places. Chrono.gg is another one of those places that has daily deals. And I picked up a game yesterday. Oh, I am trying to recall the name of it, but it looked interesting because it was like these cube people that were... Oh, here it is. Slayaway Camp.
Oh, yeah, no, I played that. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a few years old. I think they got it on the mobile device as well as the PC.
Yep.
And it looks quite entertaining. I know it's kind of out of season. I usually don't play horror games this time of year, but I'm gonna.
Well, it's a silly little game, but it's fun. It's a good puzzler.
Silly little game.
Good little puzzler. Do check that out.
I threw $5 at them. So
I'm gonna be cranking through as much Assassin's Creed as possible because I wanna eat the rest of that game. I really like this Origins, and I didn't give it all the time it needed, so I'm gonna play more. That's gonna do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for all of you. We'll see you next time. Mother Game suckers. Over. Mother suckers? That's terrible.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.